Your ATM is safe. Your banks are safe. There's a... There's enough cash in the financial system, and there is an infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve.
Don't you...
Then I would sell my Bitcoin right into this rally. And believe me, I had been a believer one time in Bitcoin. Not here, not now. Find somebody to love. Don't you... The arbitrage on this trend has been margin called.
I think it was a hook. Trusted your idols, now they got you shook. Believe in the crooks. Hell of a saint. Are they cooking the rooks? Save up a decade, now I'll set a day. Another November, I just get in the way. Bigger the bet. Bigger rebel effect. When it all blows off, it is you who will pay.
Behind the ass, it's not the success. Pull back the curtains and what do you get? And it's the risk with a big tippy net. Made from your savings. And 401k. Give it to the other side of the trade. Socialized losses while we've been the game. First to fall in this reckless war. Cause you're just a pawn in the fertility industry.
Money talks, you pay for the show. Pay for the clout. Pay for the thrill. Pay for the media to lie to our face. Taught the truth so we repeat our mistakes. Sell us a dream that never delivers. While raking in fees and clipping the tickets. Siphoning funds from a mouthless bigot. Blindly the blind to the all complicit. Money is cheap and addicted to growth. Commingled the risks so nobody knows. How far ever go to a damaged collateral? Another excuse for oppressive control. The government captures private play. Reapers of value at the end of the day. We're calling for help but nobody came. No bailouts for pawns and complainers.
Money deeply rots at the core. Don't believe intentions are pure. This crypto contagion stems from a system that incentivized fraud. As schemes get more complex and fallible, humans left unchecked. Playing the dark is how you get wrecked. And our economies are largely X.
What would happen if we take our money out of rent systems? Why protest our labor when we can pull out our capital? Where would we be if our money enriched us? Simply by holding purchasing power. How do we build a base? Replace the cantillion effects with the will of free markets.
Build an independent system to remove the risk of corruption.
Step 2.
Move our savings into that system so no one can ever touch it.
Step 3.
Earn, save, spend, trade. All activities moving this way. With our own money, everything changed. We no longer positive to the
change. It's hard as I desire, and if I were, and if I tie, earning a larger piece of pie, or if you want to be in a life. Money is the art of heroism, and when the best you keep scoring a politician, come and cash rate out of the place, and we reap the value at the end of the day.
So we can move value without being sensitive. Move up from gambling, saving. Move up from all of the politics. Move on to the end of the internet.
So we don't have to trust every word that they say. So freedom and wealth can be taken away.
So we treat and punish all the same.
So we can tempt the control of this game.
Knowing the truth will break the frame. Now our perspectives forever change. Truth is the key for us to reclaim.
Open the door, it's the game.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday, and welcome to the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces, episode 122. Man, time is flying by. I want to thank everybody who is tuning in. Today is probably going to be a shorter show, probably only get to the bottom of the hour here. It'll just be me, and it looks like Tim as well. But if anybody else wants to go ahead and request to join up here on stage, please go ahead and join us this morning. A lot of the guys are out or they're sick or just on vacation or had meetings. So we'll go ahead and try and recap everything going on and hear any insight or questions that y'all may have for me. But if you, again, as a reminder, we have that little chat at the bottom right of the screen. If you want to just say good morning, if you have a question that you want to ask, feel free to type it in there. If you want to come up here on stage and talk and share your Bitcoin story or ask any questions you may have if you're new to the space, please feel free to go ahead and request to come up here. But good morning, Tim. How are you doing, sir? It's good to see you back here.
I'm doing great, Coleman. I accidentally hit speak on accident. I don't have much to share, but happy to be here.
Well, if you can share anything, it's better than me just talking for 30 minutes. So I was looking at everybody else's insight.
I got one thing to share. I'll get it out of the way. There, the inside scuttlebutt is the Illinois SBR bill that was put forth by Representative Cabello. It looks like he's getting, some support, from, our local senator, Steve McClure. So it looks like we're going to, somebody on, not the other side of the aisle, but, looks like that's going to gain a little bit of steam. Doubt it's going to result in an actual bill, but positive note nonetheless.
We had Joe Calzari, join us a couple of weeks ago, and he had mentioned that bill, and he stated that he spoke to some of the representatives in office, and it looked like it had a really tough battle to go ahead and kind of pass things. So with this additional support, is it becoming a little easier, or is it still got a straight uphill battle?
Oh no, it's straight uphill. It will continue to be. But trying to maintain the positives, you know, positive mindset.
Do you think Illinois is just going to wait until another state passes? So you're getting ahead. I think Utah is coming really close to a committee vote.
I truly believe Illinois will be one of the last states, but being a Bitcoiner in Illinois, we gotta hold out hope. Illinois Bitcoiners are the party of hope and change here, is what I'm saying.
There we go. If you are in Illinois, again, just send one of your representatives a letter. Again, it doesn't take much before it starts getting a little traction, but I do find that Illinois is going to be one, if they're going to be one of the last ones to do it, just simply because they have such a large financial sector in Chicago. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I would just think that they have a lot of the right people in place to go ahead and get this done. Is that really not the case, Tim?
We're slowly trying to coalesce and like bring together, you know, actual ground root support. You're right. There are the big players are there. And I see, Jeff is in this chat too. He and I are working together to try and really bring everybody together and start to build this up. And it's a slow process. You're right though. The big players are there. We need to get them on board and really just start coming forward with a cohesive message, a cohesive front. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Is there I know Nashville has the Bitcoin Park, but is there anything like that in Chicago?
They have the Chicago Bit Devs. There's a couple meetups that I've been trying to research that lately. There's a lot that, initiatives that started, you know, in the 2017 to 2020 timeframe, but most of those seem defunct, like go on meetup.com and they haven't posted in years. So, not yet. But we need to build something similar to like the Texas Blockchain Council is what we need. We need to start really organizing.
Well, I'm not from Illinois, but I'm a huge fan of Jack Mahler's. And
oh, yeah. Correct
me if I'm wrong, but he's based out of Chicago, correct?
That's correct. That is correct. His grandfather, I believe, was like, on the board of the Chicago, exchange. CBOE, I think it is.
The Chicago Mercantile, CME?
Yeah, CME. Is. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, if I was in Illinois, I would try and blast Jack, because he has a lot of momentum if he was going to get anything done. And I think one of the first steps would be is to create something like a TBC, Texas Blockchain Council, or just Bitcoin Park in Nashville and have it centered in Chicago and get more people, your city councilmen and your representatives to come there and do events. Definitely not going to change this. The trajectory of the bill in the short term, but given 12, 16 months, you might see a lot more positive, response if you had a place like that. And Jack would have the funding to go ahead and secure a building, and kind of do his own thing.
So anybody who's in Jack's ear, hit me up.
He's, if you're not on Noster, I think he's pretty active on Noster. And nice. I think the cool thing about Noster is, again, it's such a small community. And there's not a lot of people yet that you may have better luck reaching out to them on that. So if I was in Chicago area and I wanted to get this done, that's what I would do, is I would utilize Noster and try and attack from that angle, see if you can catch them.
Yeah, my only Mahler story is I had baklava. I had Mandrix baklava with him in Miami a few years ago. So, got to meet the guy, great guy. And he's a busy guy. So yeah, I'll reach out on Noster for sure.
Yeah, I wish you the best of luck with that, but I think that would be good. And I think it's inevitable that every major city is going to have something like a Bitcoin park, in 100%. Their area. So. That's cool. If you missed it, the Texas had an open panel on the strategic Bitcoin reserve. We had Pierre Richard go out and talk, and then Lee Bratcher of the TBC go and talk as well. And it seemed very positive response from everybody that was there. And it looks like they will be voting in probably a couple weeks on it, and it looks like it's going to pass. And once it passes that, it goes back to the House, which the House has its own version. So it looks like they're going to have it. So Texas should be probably the second or third state. I really think Utah, though, they're voting here really quick. And I think that they may become the first state to get this pushed through. And I haven't really read too much on their literature on how it's created. But it looks like it's going to get through regardless. So that'll be interesting.
Did I hear that? What was it? Wyoming got shot down.
They did. Which is a little surprising. I would have thought, you know, Senator Lummis is trying to pass the bill with the strategic Bitcoin on the nation level. I would have thought she would have had a little bit more support in her home state. So it kind of leaves me to believe that, you know, she's saying that she has a lot of co-sponsors, a lot of people interested on the nation state bill she's trying to get passed. But I think there might be a lot of work from, you know, the hope she can get co-sponsors, part of that statement. So, I didn't really pay much attention to it, just simply because Wyoming is so far from Texas. I'm just kind of reading off the headlines, but I'd like to know why it got shut down so quickly, especially given that it is her home state. So do you have any information on that, Tim?
Aside from reading the links myself, no.
Yeah, so it's unfortunate, but we'll see. I'll say this. I think within 12 to 16 months, you're going to see almost half the country have some kind of Bitcoin legislation. I think that's a safe bet to go ahead and make. You're going to get a couple of these states. I think the majority of the states that have the legislation written up right now is probably going to not go through, but you're going to get the ones and twos that do it. And just because the way this cycle is ramping up, I don't think we've topped on the Bitcoin cycle. I think we're a couple of weeks out before it makes its next big move up. And then once we really start getting into the bull run in the summer, you're going to see the states that have adopted this, and they're going to just see their balance sheet just increase on an impressive scale. You're going to get FOMO from the other states, and that's when it's going to start getting pushed through. So, Utah, Texas, a couple other, I think Oklahoma as well has a pretty solid one. And so you'll see about four or five states, and then everybody also just jump right in. So it'll be interesting.
To add to that, I really think this is, the SBRs, like you said, they're kind of DOA of sorts. But it's more of posturing, positioning. And if we agree that the states are going to lead over federal before federal, you know, you might even take that more granularly, maybe not communities, but like you're seeing in the pensions, and you're seeing different unions start to build up. I think that's going to lead. And by the states putting these bills out there, it's kind of giving the local communities and the smaller organizations some motivation or, you know, drive to push forward. So even though they won't go through, I don't think that's the goal. I think the goal is to just start aiming forward, you know, giving a more direct target.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think you're right with that. And I have to admit that I was really hoping that day one, we'd get some kind of strategic Bitcoin reserve order, executive order. And I was hoping that the Lummis bill would get pushed through pretty quickly. But now that has kind of passed and I'm taking a stance back or a step back and looking at things through a wider lens and just a longer time horizon, I do think it's the right way to start it at the state level. I think creating this through the states first and having the states lead is going to be a better foundation than having it go from the top down. And I'll default back to how kind of COVID took place with the states going ahead and saying, no, we're not going to follow this crap. We are going to do our own thing. And you just kind of saw the states that were open up for business are still thriving to this day. You're still seeing a lot of people move into Florida and Texas simply because we were the 1-2 states that opened up during that debacle with COVID. So you'll see the same thing, I think, with the Bitcoin strategic reserves. We'll go ahead and start covering some headlines that came through. FTX is starting to pay back their customers after the 2022 collapse. The estate initiated the creditor repayment program, distributing $1.2 billion to smaller claim holders. They plan to send the payments in stages to ensure proper verification and orderly distribution, with the next set of payments scheduled for Q2 of this year, 2025. It's really unfortunate because the amount that they're getting back, if you had a whole Bitcoin on FTX, you're not getting paid back a whole Bitcoin in today's value. You are getting paid back the equivalent of what that Bitcoin was back in November of 2022, which is right around $25,000. It's really important, and we stress this all the time. I get convenience, but you should not be leaving your Bitcoin with others, like on exchanges. You definitely should not be doing this. The whole premise of Bitcoin is to be your own bank. It was peer-to-peer, remove the institutions. And I understand, like I always recommend River and Strike. Those are my two go-tos. But at the same point, everybody needs to man and woman up and go ahead and take custody of your own Bitcoin, not your keys, not your coins. And this is a really good example of that. And it's unfortunate to everybody that was affected, but there's no other way to do Bitcoin correctly. And this will happen again, unfortunately. There's no if, and, buts about it. Someone else will get blown out and you're going to have a whole other group of Bitcoiners who just lose everything because they thought they were putting their faith in a trustworthy organization just for convenience. Remembering 12 to 24 words is not difficult. It really is not. And especially if you want to go ahead and stamp that seed phrase on a metal plate, you don't have to worry necessarily about memorizing it. But taking self-custody of your Bitcoin is very simple. And I do have a hard time with people saying that it's too hard, it's too scary. You just, at the end of the day, you just have to go ahead and do the work and take care of it. Play around with it for a little bit. You'll see that it's not that difficult. I do want to welcome Yellow to the stage. Good morning.
Hey, what's up? Good morning. That's actually how I ended every DSB for 3 and more years. Whoever listened to those spaces knows that, like, I ended it with back to the basics, stack sats, huddle your keys. It's not that complicated, you know? It really isn't. It is and it is. It isn't. let's be honest. Like, it is and it isn't. It actually isn't difficult, but like, depending how much you want to safeguard that, holding of yours, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the part that seems like it's difficult is just that you have all the responsibility on yourself. There's no one that you can blame or go to for help or support if you happen to just screw everything up or just lose your seed phrase. And I think that's might be the part that's concerning. But you have your online information to your bank, right? You can memorize that. You memorize your PIN. You can memorize a bunch of information. There's no reason why you can't memorize this. And that, I agree with you, Yellow. Like, there's convenience and then there's just doing things right. And in this scenario, you have to do things right. You need to have your own keys. If you have any questions about holding your own Bitcoin, if you're new to the space, reach out to us. Go to bitcoinveterans.org. Fill out the connect card with us. We'll get you hooked up. We have dozens of signal groups for any type of conversation. We are more than happy to go ahead and walk you through this. There's also a lot of videos online if you don't want to reach out to us. I always default to Ben with BTC Sessions. He has a video for every type of hardware wallet that you should store your Bitcoin on. Again, I'm a huge fan of Cold Card. I like the MK4 and the Cold Card Q. They're very easy, very user-friendly, and he has a video on start to finish on how to set that up. So there's really no excuse not to do this. What do you think, Yellow, is one of the biggest hurdles people have when they're trying to self-custody?
I think the what if, like, every day people are raised and are educated in a system that pampered them towards them. Like, you lose your passport, it's okay, call your bank. Like everyone has that kind of like mentality where when even something happens and it is their fault. Like the normies will say, the first thing that will come out of the mind, it's not my fault. I didn't know. I didn't know about that. You know, like they're ready to blame anyone else but themselves. And this space is the complete opposite, right? Like we even like take, responsibility about things that, to be honest, if it was any kind of like service or product or network or whatever you want to call it, it wouldn't be in our hands, that power and that responsibility, right? So I think that's the most difficult thing for them to switch in their mind and embrace. When they do that, after everything else is like pretty simple. It's not that, it really isn't that complicated. Like you write down, you start by write down your seed phrases, and then depending your levels of paranoid you are, I call it secure you want to be, right? Peace of mind. Then you add more levels to it. But yeah.
No, I think you're right with that, Yellow. And I think all of us like to have an extremely secure setup. You know, you have to do multi-sig, different things of that nature. But at the end of the day, if you have it set up too complicated, you might forget at one point on what you're doing, and then you're completely screwed. A simple 24 seed phrase is right now it's next to impossible to get into or hack. And so it's extremely secure. Once quantum computers come, yes, there may be something else and you might have to implement multi-sig. But for right now, just memorizing 24 words, very simple. And if you think you can't memorize 24 words, go ahead, punch it on a seed, punch it on a metal plate. We always recommend punch plate. Again, fire, water, it doesn't matter. You're always going to have those 24 words, and you can go ahead and back up your wallet to any device with that. So it is pretty simple. But to hit back on what you said, Yellow, I recommend everybody read a book by Jocko Willicks. He's a Navy SEAL, does a lot of mentorship but he wrote a book. He's got a series now, but it's called Extreme Ownership. And highly recommend reading that, especially if you own a business. Read it. And he just talks about it, that when you're in charge or you want to be a leader, you're responsible for everything. You're responsible for everything that goes wrong. And you give all the praise to everybody else. And so that, I think it's a really good book. He does have, I know he has conferences that he does throughout the country. So if you're really interested in it, they look pretty cool. Definitely if you want to try and take your business to the next level. But I definitely recommend reading that book, Extreme Ownership. Really good for you to understand the importance of that. I do really want to really quickly just take a pause and thank our partners. Black Sheep Ammo, restock your ammo at blacksheepammo.com. Punch Plate, again, I just said there's no reason for you not to stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate. Anything can happen. Look what happened in Tennessee with all that flooding. It's horrible. But if you had your seed phrase written on a piece of paper, unfortunately, that's gone. Go to punchplate.com, stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate. Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms and tactical training at paladintowertactics.com. And Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining, solosatoshi.com. Use our code BTCVETS with an S, 5% off your order. Pay with Bitcoin, there's additional 10% off, so you can get 15% off your order. And I got to tell you, the Solo Satoshi is just so simple. I set up another one a couple weeks ago. It takes literally 5 minutes to set it up. It is so simple. You don't need any technical background. There's a video that they send and a QR link. Within 5 minutes, you'll have your BitAx set up. And it's just really cool. And you know what? If you ever played the lottery in your life, go ahead and get a BitAx. You play the block lottery. See if you can get win a block and get that block reward. So no excuse. Solosatoshi.com. Last but not least, Bitcoin Alaska, July 5th and July 6th. This is a family-friendly event. Again, I absolutely love Alaska. It is absolutely gorgeous, especially in the summertime. Everything is just so green that you really have to experience it for yourself. This conference is taking place in Juneau. Get there early. Pre-conference activities take place on the 1st. Everything wraps up on the 6th. BitcoinAlaska.org. Get your tickets and get your lodging. There is going to be a private cruise going to one of the fjords with all whale pass purchases. So please go get your tickets, bitcoinalaska.org. I think there's some, I think it's interesting. We'll go ahead and start talking about this. But the Fold debit card, if you're unfamiliar, there's a debit card that rewards you in Bitcoin. You make purchases, you get a certain percent back. You can buy gift cards, and they have really good Bitcoin rewards on those, sometimes all the way up to 10% back in Bitcoin with certain Bitcoin purchases. And they have they have probably 100 now different companies on their on their app and their card. So if you haven't checked them out, highly recommend it. But Fold went public and are now officially listed on the NASDAQ under the ticker FLD. And I think they had to get halted in the first 15 minutes just due to so much. I'll go check the price on it right now. But I think it started the day off right underneath $11. And we're sitting right around 12:31. So I have a little bit of a swing, but it's just kind of interesting to see how that's going to go ahead and work out. Yellow, do you use Fold at all?
No. I'm in the EU. I think, now you can use it, but like, yeah, I've never actually used it. Yeah. I think I've tried it once.
I think it's interesting. They're coming out with a Bitcoin Visa card now, so just a charge card. That'll be really nice if you're trying to live on a Bitcoin standard. I tried.
That would be a game changer for sure. I think it will be the first Bitcoin companies to do it. We had crypto companies doing it, but yeah.
Yeah, and it's important to mention that Fold is Bitcoin only. I'll have to go check this, but they're definitely a top 10 Bitcoin holding company with the amount of Bitcoin they hold on the balance sheet that's strictly just Bitcoin. So offering this Visa card, I think they said they're going to get about 2% back in Bitcoin, which if you've had a full card, you can see your reward history and it tells you from the day you signed up to present day. And it's just crazy to see at how much Bitcoin you can accumulate just from everyday purchases and how much it appreciates over that, the length of time that you're with them. It's pretty.
Yeah. If that's true and not something else, you know, in a small letters is like different, like if it's actually like that, like why use any other kind of card? Like, you know, like.
Yeah, that some of the rewards I've got in Satoshis are worth more now than what the purchase was when I got those rewards. So it's absolutely crazy. But I do have to admit that at the beginning of when Fold kind of came out, they were offering just crazy amount of sats for purchases. You could like 4x, 5x the amount of you got. It was absolutely crazy. So it was pretty easy to get more sats on those rewards for a purchase than it is now. But still, we're Bitcoiners. We have a long-term horizon. You know, what's a couple thousand sats could be worth in 10 years? So definitely give them a check. We're not affiliated with them, but I do like supporting Bitcoin only companies. So I think it's just fold.com. I do want to go ahead and start mentioning this. I think it's an interesting development, especially for here in the United States. But Elon Musk, head of the Department of Government Efficiency, said on X yesterday he will ask President Trump about a proposal for a Doge dividend that would essentially give taxpayers a refund of $5,000 funded by the savings of what Doge is finding. So this is pretty crazy. I see a lot of people talk about it. However, I'm a little hesitant on this. Actually, I'm really hesitant on this. This is just kind of another, essentially, you could sum it up as UBI, right? We're trying to cut government spending, and then the amount of spending that we're saving, we're just going to go ahead and give it back to the public. I don't like it. I think
how is that practically done? Like so many different departments, so many different budgets. Like, okay, you saved some money, I understand, but it's through so many different, like sub ministers and whatever, like, and you're gonna take that and create a voucher for everyone that joins in that database, that new database of yours. I don't know. It's kind of weird. How is it gonna do that?
Yeah, essentially, they're just putting the government spending that they would have done for these programs, and instead of just doing that, they're giving it directly to the taxpayers. And we saw how that affected everything during COVID, right? I'm not sure over in the EU if they did it, but down here in the States, they sent out a ton of money to everybody. And again, when you flood the system with just money created out of nothing, because that's exactly what it is, inflation was going crazy. And so if they do this again, even with terming it, it's from the money that they saved. The money was still printed. We're not getting any goods or services by just giving that back to the people. And so you are going, if this does go through, right now, let's just talk on X. But if this does go through, you are going to see inflation come back, just screaming back. And I don't think it's very good.
Yeah, I think Frank Underwood did something similar in House of Cards Season 2.
Can you say that again? I missed that.
I think Frank Underwood did something similar in House of Cards Season 2.
Oh, yeah. That was a really good show back in the day. I don't remember that part. But I think if you're saving all this money, again, don't put it back into the system. just reduce the cost, get rid of the taxes. I think that would be the best bet. I've already spent this money on taxes. It's extremely frustrating to see all this money go. If you want to make it better, just stop it. Just stop collecting taxes and go ahead. And if you have all this extra money that you're saving from these programs, just offset that with the tax burden. So no one has to pay federal taxes anymore.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, to my mind, like that's more simple to do and that's more just to do for everyone, right? Like, the amount of money you save, just eliminate, that amount of like in taxes somehow. But like when you put the equation and in your plan, like a new database that you have to register, and then it comes like a little bell comes in my Bitcoin mind, like control, new type of control. You know, like it's like, you know, I don't know.
No, I think if you were to eliminate the taxes and just had a flat tariff on everything, you would find that you're able to generate more income for your country. These tax codes are written by the lobbyists, and the lobbyists are paid by these large corporations. And if there was no loophole for that, and everyone just had to pay just a flat tax on everything, you would collect more at the end of the day, and it would be consistent, and everybody else would have more take-home pay. And you could choose at how much you wanted to save, right? If you didn't want to go out and buy the newest iPhone and pay the 15% tax on it or whatever that number is, you could save that. And you just, again, you have more take-home pay. You're incentivized to save more. So I really do hope that they come to this realization. I do not hope that they send out that $5,000 to every taxpayer. If they do, I'll tell you exactly, I'm putting all that money directly into Bitcoin and watch it grow at multiples in a very short time. It'll be absolutely crazy. It'll be exactly like COVID. Whatever happened between 21 and 22, that'll just be another replay. Here's another reminder. If anyone's in the audience and you want to come up here and talk, please open invitation. Everybody's welcome to come up here. If you're a little shy, we do have the chat box down in the bottom right. You can go ahead and put your questions in there. If you do come up on stage, though, the only rule we have is no shit coining and just be respectful to others. But I'd love to get some of you come up here and hear your thoughts. A reminder that on the 27th of this month, on Thursday, 7 p.m., my wife and I will be hosting another Bitcoin meetup. So if you're in Northeast Houston area, send me a DM and I will send you the information. Lasts about 2 hours. We had a pretty good showing the first one that we did. I would like to try and continue to do this every single month. So if you're in the Houston area, Northeast side, send me a message and I'll send you the details on the event. Love to have you come out, and this way we can start growing the Bitcoin community. Again, everything starts at a grassroots level. If we want to have nation state change, it starts with you and I in our communities. So let's make sure you get out here. Oh, did you want to say something, Yellow?
No, nice. I have a subject if you want to talk about it.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So, I don't know if you saw the latest tweet Hodron made, saying he will slowly leave Twitter and everything. How things are changing for the plebs and how Bitcoin is reaching another level. I'll put it up in the nest. I don't know if you saw it.
No, I didn't find it. I was trying to find him really quick. Was able to find it. But yeah, if you can explain what he was talking about, let's go ahead and dive into this.
Yeah, he says he's saying bye. He says, Hodron, Bitcoin has reached escape velocity. The glorious era of us plebs fighting important fights for Bitcoin is largely behind us. As we march towards inevitable hyper-Bitcoinization, the normification of the space is equally inevitable for good and for bad. I don't have a big appetite anymore for price talk, calling out sequence scammers, number whatever, and general circle jerking. So I have lately been and will remain going forward pretty quiet on this account. I don't think I have much more to contribute to Bitcoin that others don't do far better than me. It's been real, and that's it. Now I don't know why I want to talk about it, but it's something of a feeling that I've seen not only on HODLer, not only on me, but on a lot of plebs lately. And that's like a lot of cultural circles we have started, like they concluded the latest like months. And I feel like now a lot of the plebs are in a stance of like waiting and don't know what to do exactly. Like it's been awkward like a little bit lately. I feel yeah, I don't know how you see it, Colman. Like if you have seen that kind of feeling I'm talking about.
I do, and I think it's just a change, right? I think that yourself included, you put in your time, you've done the rounds, you've been through quite a few cycles now, and I think you're ready for the next generation, if you want to say it, of Bitcoiners to go ahead and come through. And I think, and that's how it should be, right? We should see you all step backwards and just kind of guide everybody, make sure we're kind of still going in the right direction, but this movement shouldn't be resting on just a few individual shoulders. Again, if we want Bitcoin to do what we know it's going to be able to do, everybody has to get on board and everybody has to become more vocal, and we have to start hearing different opinions from new people. And they're not all going to be good. Some are going to be horrible, but that's how we decide the direction of it. And I do believe that as Bitcoin becomes more adopted and more mainstream and the price starts getting even higher, you're going to see more OG Bitcoiners really just start to step back into the shadows and just be very quiet. And that'll just come down to a safety thing. Again, if people just assume if you've been in Bitcoin for a couple cycles that you have hundreds or thousands of Bitcoin, and you're going to make yourself an unnecessary target. So it's a little sad to see it happen, but I'm looking forward to the change and seeing the new Bitcoiners come out and seeing the direction that they want to go and just kind of see everybody go through the similar cycles. So that's how I view it. I don't know if you wanted to add anything else to that, Yellow.
No, I'm hoping for those guys to really step up. Yeah. I can't wait to see it happen. I'm not fucking going anywhere. This is my house. So, I might take breaks, but like I'll be around. But yeah, I can't wait really to see it and what they create. Yeah, but it's like a bittersweet thing like happening, right? Like, all those like older friends of mine like leaving kind of, and even to those that like are still around, like I'm talking with those guys and they're saying similar stuff, you know. There is something changing to the space and to Bitcoin, and Bitcoin growing and becoming more mainstream is also like weirdly a bittersweet thing too. Like it has its cons, it has its pros obviously, but it has its cons also, right? I don't know if that's a selfish way to view it, because we were like before became mainstream here or not. I haven't figured out that part yet. But yeah, in the end, we used to say, and we still say, like, Bitcoin's for everyone. So when everyone is here, it's going to be different for sure. So be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for. But I think just getting your voice heard now that it's growing is becoming more difficult. I think in the beginning, it was easier because you had everyone, the group was so much smaller, so it was easier to go ahead and talk to everybody. But now that there's just so many, it's hard to reach everybody. And so I think that'll be a challenge that this new wave of Bitcoin adoption is going to face. But I do think that the growth, the direction, the big push this cycle is going to be on the at-home mining sector. But I do think that you're going to see that kind of take off, and you're going to see that some of these Bitcoiners who've been doing it for a long time, to make sure that it stays decentralized, is they're going to have more of a push and utilization for these at-home miners, you know, at-home miner heaters, just different ways to incorporate this so that we don't rely on these large corporations, these large companies to go ahead and have all the hash power. So I think that's going to be the direction that you kind of see the big push happening over the next couple of years. Do you see the same thing, Yellow?
Yeah, I think, the fight to the next fight. Yeah, it's around like, decentralization and, for sure decentralization, like, around mining for sure. It's a problem that we have to face somehow, you know? I agree.
Yeah. And I think just as it becomes, again, we're so early on this, but as it becomes technology designed to make things, everything easier, for the next wave. And that's what we're really showing with, I'm going to fall back to these bit axes. They're just becoming more efficient. They're easier to do. They're easier to make upgrades to or modify. And again, in 12 to 24 months, the advances that we're going to make, the ease, having different chip manufacturers, it's going to make things grow. We have Dr. Nick up here, and I know that you're really big into this, so I'd like to get your take, Nick.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I just wanted to share a quick update. I'm actually in Denver, just flew in here for the Undermine Summit, the hash rate, or what is it? The Heat Punk Summit. And I'm pretty excited to see what comes out of that. So if you're unaware, I know Tyler Stevens and Trevor, oh man, I'm going to butcher his last name. I think it's Bello or something like that, host the Build a Mind podcast. But they've been talking about it a lot. They were guests on the show. And it's going to be really exciting to see some of the innovations that come out of this summit, getting people together that are very passionate about Bitcoin mining, as well as people in different construction trades, electricians, plumbers, and just kind of seeing what everybody can kind of brainstorm and how we can really push this home mining movement to the next level and really, really scale it up. So I'm interested to see what comes out of that.
I'm interested. I'm not at the conference, but I'm interested to see how this comes out and just giving all these builders, the people with this mindset, the tools and information that they need to go ahead and just go home and tinker with it and see what you can improve. And then having that hive mindset of everyone coming back together and saying, oh, I like this, I don't like that. And just making these improvements and changes. I think it's going to be really interesting. Again, if you're interested at home mining, please reach out to us. I set up my BitAx. I got a new one. I had a couple questions about setting it up because I was having some issues. I reached out to one of our signal chats. It's a mining group. Within 5 minutes, I had the guys walking me through the different things to go ahead and try and troubleshoot it. And within 10 minutes, everything is fixed and I was rocking and rolling. So again, that's the power of this, is that you couldn't get the speed, or the help if BitAx had a 1-800 number for their tech line. Again, it's all peer to peer. It's reaching out to us or your friends. And that's why building up this community is so important. So, I'm really interested to see your updates on this, Nick, and I hope it's a great conference.
Yeah, and along those lines, I think we're really on the precipice of like a big open source movement, to the point where there is going to be like American manufacturers who are going to be helping us push that movement forward. And once we can have open source material that just anybody can build and it can be manufactured within the US and anybody can get their hands on it, I think it's just really going to take off. Like you're not going to need to necessarily be like a do-it-yourself tinkerer, you know, at home, putting together all these, you know, experimenting with all these different types of miners. There's going to be enough people that are experts in this field that, you know, that will lend their services to anybody else and will be more than happy to do so and be completely open and transparent about how it works. And they'll be able to come and install a miner into your home. And all the stuff is eventually going to be like UL certified. So it's completely safe. You're not going to run the risk of your miner turning into a smoke machine or anything like that. But I'm just really bullish on home mining and open source mining in general. And I think it's coming to the US in a way that we can easily get our hands on it. And hopefully then, you know, globally as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. I'm really looking forward to this. We've got someone else. Everything is requesting come up. So just brought you up. Let's hear your thoughts. Again, if you want, there's about 10 minutes left of the show. If you want to come up here and ask your question or just tell us a little about yourself or anything like that, please feel free to come up here. I'd love to hear from you. But we have Everything joining us right now. Good morning.
Hi, guys. Pleasure to be here. I just wanted to quickly speak on every open source shill or home miner to point their hash to Ocean Pool. If you're a Bitcoin maxi or a Bitcoin believer or a sovereign maxi, Ocean Pool is the only pool to point your hash rate to and run a Datum server. And that's my time. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Everything, really quick, if you can stick around, why is it so important to point it to Ocean versus the other big ones?
Well, just to piggyback off what your conversation with Yellow was about the centralization of mining. Technically, there's a lot of devs working on means to resolve that, but the superior software solution today is what Ocean and Luke Dash Jr. and the guys over there, Jason, are doing. So if you're running a Datum server and you're pointing to Ocean Pool, then you are getting the most transparent. You're getting paid from the network. Most pools don't pay you directly from the network itself. And there's a whole lot of other stuff, but you're also not a proxy for the Han Chinese and the deep state block template. So you create what the block should look like, basically. And you help end the FUD that Bitcoin is dead. Bitcoin seemed dead until the Ocean guys came around. So for mining, you give it them all mining, you give it them all Bitcoin being here for the next 100 plus years. You need to immediately point your pool or your hash to Ocean. And then the benefits for that, obviously, is I know Bob Burnett has done some research, but the math behind the Tides payout system that Ocean does use trumps every other payout system. So whatever pool you're pointing at, it's a quick way to do it. Whatever pool you're pointing at, find out what their total hash rate is and how many blocks they get in a day and what your share to that pool is. And then you can do the math behind what you're getting paid. So the TLDR behind what I just said is everyone not running Ocean Pool is getting ripped off, unfortunately. And Ocean does provide a very transparent way. No one knows the math behind FPPS because it changes for different pools. But Ocean is making it easily accessible for its global participants. So it's a huge deal. I'm not going to go into the nitty-gritty because that might take another 4 hours. But ocean pool, and run a Datum server if you can, because then you are solo mining. You can solo mine. Yes. So that is the end of my spiel. I hope that it does suffice for all home miners globally to, if you give a damn about Bitcoin, obviously, and depending on your circumstance as well, in terms of power and whatnot, but if you can, do run a Datum server and put your hash rate to Ocean Pool before it gets to 10 exahashes, because we are going to 10 exahashes, hopefully soon.
Well, thank you very much for that. I appreciate that. And again, we've had Bob Burnett from Barefoot Mining, and he's a big advocate for Ocean. And he's been on the show a couple of times. So,
correct. So what he did for the space was kill the FUD that, I'm sorry to really interrupt you again, but what he did for the space was kill the FUD that Ocean doesn't pay out more, in terms of mining. So what he did was put out, I think, a couple of hash rates, right? Same machines and whatnot, and then compared the same hash rate going to several pools, right? I think this was done around the halvening era. So it was very much evident to see that pools were ripping off their users or whoever's pointing hash rate to them. And Ocean did, regardless of the ridiculous variance, because Ocean does have annoying variance, but regardless of that variance, it's just shocking to see that Ocean does pay out more than any other pool. And it's just maddening. Most people are not aware of that, including huge institutional miners. They don't get it. So the hope is that we will spread the message as we are spreading the Maxi message as well. And then most people would give a damn about the math behind the payout system that Ocean is using to make things more transparent. So yeah, I'll shut up now.
No, you're good. I appreciate that. I don't know if you know the numbers or you can tell us, but if I'm running a BitAx, one of their 601s, how much can I expect to get if I'm pointing towards the Ocean Mining Pool as a payout? A couple sats?
Well, yeah, a couple sats. If you're running the Gamma, which is about 1.2, 1.3 exahashes. If you don't overclock that, if you just leave it on the default, right, and you run Ocean Pool, you should get... So another thing is Ocean does offer to give you payouts in Lightning, right? And not just the regular Lightning, but they do so with Bolt 12, which is this bleeding edge spec for Lightning that does give you privacy or encrypted value transfer, right? So you could do that. And the sad thing is, if it's just one BitAx, you're gonna get paid, correct, but you're gonna get paid maybe 100 sats or so. So maybe in a month, 2,000 to 3,000 satoshis would be what you get with a Gamma. I don't know what you get with a Supra, BitAx Supra, because I haven't tried that. But it should be about that, right? And because this is just home mining, you know, people are just testing it out to see how the ecosystem works, I think that's fine, because over time, those Satoshis would be subsidy rewards. So if you're going to be here for the longest time, then yes, you would benefit, or your lineage would benefit from those situations. But other than that, it's just an experiment. And yeah, but if you're a large institution, like yesterday, we were trying to convince Marshall Long, who's like real OG in the Bitcoin mining space on X, but he didn't understand the Datum server. This was real time conversation. So the conversation started with Jack Dorsey. Everyone's saying Jack Dorsey, Satoshi and whatnot. And then it spiraled into mining, Bitcoin mining. And he gave complaints that he has a shit ton of hash rate, but he can't point that hash rate about 1 to 2, 3 exahashes to ocean because of the ping, like the distance, right? I forget the technical term, unfortunately. But he like Luke Dash Jr. had to come into the conversation to be like, you don't need to worry about that. If you run a datum server yourself and the node is in the same locality as yourself, right? So the point I'm trying to make is whether or not you're a Bittax user or you've got mining farms and you've got a huge facility, you need to point your hash rate to ocean pool. If indeed you want Bitcoin to survive for the longest time, cause it does make your Bitcoin much more valuable in my opinion. And you're getting, it's not KYC obviously, cause, ocean is no KYC. You don't need an email or all of those stuff to get registered. You just need a Bitcoin address and then you get paid directly from the network and there are no bandwidth issues is what I believe he was complaining about. If you allow the work, the proof of work concepts that we speak about, if you allow the work to be done by the machines you purchase yourself, right, and not depending on someone to do that work for you, then you are mining. And it's quite a new concept for especially people mining for more than a decade or didn't mine with Allegius before it became Ocean Pool. This is how mining should be conducted as per the white paper, right? At first it was bifurcated because of the way, you know, the ecosystem grew and GPUs, F2, FPGAs and whatnot to ASICs. But now the Ocean team has decided to bring all of that back together and allow people mine in a very sovereign manner and get paid from the network, right? Which is huge to get paid from the network. Most people aren't getting paid from the network and most people cannot verify that what they are getting paid is commensurate of the hash rate that they put out, right? But Ocean, it's just painful, especially in the beginning when it was below 1 exahash. But now Ocean is touching about 5 exahashes or so, 4 to 5 exahashes. And eventually, it's just going to grow. So before it grows to, say, 40 exahashes, be part of the people who were early to Ocean Pool. I just felt the need to say that. I could shut up now. Yellow, please go.
Are you feeling busting for Ocean?
Am I what?
Finger busting.
I didn't hear that, but yeah, I just show Ocean.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, I just show Ocean Pool because I like the math behind the tides system. A lot of people talk about FPPS and the other one, but the tides payout mechanism is so slept on. A lot of people don't even know what I'm talking about, but it's just the way Ocean makes sure that you get paid, regardless of the variance, in a way that you can still compete. Yeah.
Well, I do thank you, everything for, coming up here and talking about that. I am not pointing at Ocean, but I will definitely take a second look at that and make sure it is definitely going to help strengthen the Bitcoin network.
Correct. I just want to ask you a quick question. You don't need to say the pool you're pointed at, just yes or no questions. Did you register with an email address to the pool?
No, I didn't register with an email address.
You didn't register with an email address. Well, that's fair. Most pools you have to register with an email address, but that's fair. Do point to Ocean, and if you can, do run the datum server. That's a bit of a technical thing. You don't have to, but if you're just, you want to go down the rabbit hole continually, you could YouTube that or BTC sessions that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. And then I'll probably end up reaching out to you if I have any questions, setting this up off my BitX. But I'm going to go ahead and start wrapping up the show. I do want to thank everybody who tuned in, everybody who listened, everybody who commented, and for the gentleman that came up on stage, Yellow, Dr. Nick, and everything. I do appreciate you coming up here and enjoyed your insights. Open invitation to come back anytime, gentlemen. But for everybody in the audience, if you're new to this, we do this every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. If you missed it last night, the guys had Ryan Mehta on the video podcast. We have a new time for that. It is at 9 p.m. Eastern time. But it was a good one. I'm about halfway through. Probably not appropriate for younger kids. But they definitely get into some hard truths on this episode, and it's pretty eye-opening. So definitely recommend going and check it out. There's a link up in the nest. You can also find it on our YouTube channel, on our X handle, and also on Spotify. I think the Spotify link will be posted later this evening, and so you can listen to it on that. But come back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We're going to do this again. We should have Bob back on the show and possibly Eomar. And so that's all I have for you. Go out there. Have a fantastic day. Just please, please, please don't shitcoin. It's like trying to herd a cat in a thunderstorm.